Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
9:09 now on this Friday morning, talking to Ian McNulty as we do every Friday, best time of week. We talk about eating and drinking and places to go and things to do. And if y'all got any questions, 504-260-1870, that's the Jeweler Talking text line. We love to get them to Ian and get you the best bang for your dining out buck, right?
Tommy, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm all right. I had an event over the weekend that I went to, and I don't want to name the place, but I thought the food was, I thought $200 for two people was a lot of money, and I didn't think the food was cooked that great, and it surprised me and disappointed me. Maybe I got them on a bad night. I don't want to name the place, don't want to mention it, but it was very disappointing. That ever happened to you?
Yes, it does. The important thing, Tommy, is not to blame yourself. You know, sometimes you'll think, oh, did I order wrong? Was it me? Did I wear the wrong suit and tie? You know, but these things happen. They're disappointing because going out is a special experience and you want to have a memorable outcome from it. And so I'll counter that with two recent experiences I had with just these tried and true local restaurants. And, you know, one of the soft curses of my profession of pursuing what's new and what's coming along for New Orleans restaurants is, of course, I'm always checking out the next hot thing. But then in the New Orleans, the restaurant scene, what gives it its depth, its richness, its texture, really, are these restaurants that have been with us for so long that they kind of feel like extensions of our own homes at times. And especially when you have the opportunity to bring visitors there who perhaps are seeing it for the first time or returning after a number of years to a place that they remember, it just enhances the experience and the joy that you see from them at something that you have in your backyard. I think just really, really makes it memorable and exceptional. And the first one that's on my mind is a dinner we had a week ago today at Brightson's Restaurant in Riverbend. This is the place that we've talked about in the past year, but I was able to bring family there from out of state, out of town. And I think only one other person at the table had been in this restaurant before besides myself. And this is a restaurant that is unchanging. You know, it is Frank and Marna and their family's creation since the mid 80s. And yeah, some tweaks here and there, but really what it is this showcase of Louisiana flavor. And dishes that you see kind of as standards on other menus are just done to such a high degree of excellence and depth of flavor that it is just all the convincing you need that New Orleans is this great food city. I mean, it's just right there on every plate. The smoked duck, the fish crusted with crab meat, just the manure, the fish manure, whatever they're doing that night with that classic dish. Every example that comes out of that kitchen is just, it's like a dissertation on what it's supposed to be. And a special shout out to this amazing seafood platter they have there. I say seafood platter, you're picturing this, volcanic mountain of fried shrimp and oysters and arms and legs and everything else that comes along with it. That would be crab arms and legs. But no, this is what they've cheekily called for all these years, the Shell Beach diet, not the South Beach diet, but the Shell Beach diet. So all of these seafood creations are grilled or broiled or blackened. It's changing constantly. And it's this wonderful platter of food that arrives. You can see a picture of it on my Instagram, actually, if you go to at Ian McNulty NOLA. And Tommy, the other one was just last night. The other example of going back to a restaurant that's just tried and true and part of the community, and it feels like an extension of your own hospitality when you visit there, especially with people from out of town, as Cafe Degas on Esplanade Avenue. And boy, is this ever the time for Cafe Degas. This is, like I said, on Esplanade Avenue. It's very close to City Park. When you're sat there in this mostly outdoor dining room, it's really a patio with the tent flaps that have been folded up all around it in the nice weather, you're looking out over the verdure of Esplanade Avenue. It's this multi-layered portrait of the, you know, the wrought iron plants in the front, the cypress trees, the oak trees across the street, the little pocket park just past that, neighbors strolling past with their dogs, romantic couples holding hands, waiting for the table that you're in no rush to vacate yourself because you're having one more glass of wine over the Crepe Suzette. And it feels like an extension of City Park, which is magnificent. And this is just the time of year of it all, when it's just in bloom, and it's captivating and wonderful, and it makes me feel like I'm a character out of Renoir's Boating Party every time I'm sat there in that restaurant. It's just the most genuinely French-feeling place in New Orleans without trying to overdo it, without being fake about it at all. It just comes through, and to bring out of town, in this case, overseas guests there who had been familiar with it before, and to see the comfort and the satisfaction and the joy of that kind of hospitality unfurling, well, it warmed the cockles and muscles and whelks of my heart.
Did you have mussels?
I did not, but I had other tables enjoying mussels quite lustily.
Not yours?
Perhaps not mine.
Cafe Des Gars, is that a reservation thing? Yes, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You might get lucky on an off night, but with the weather being nice like this and the scene I just described, those are hot tables. So plan in advance for that one. And Brightson's too. And may I say also on both those restaurants, both have been around for decades now. They both got their start sometime in the 80s for each of them. And in a highly competitive restaurant market, as we have, and like I said just at the beginning of this talk, there's so many new places coming along, and we can talk about new places too. But to see them full and vibrant and bustling after all these years, I think it just proves the point that I was starting with, that these places are ingrained into the cultural texture of our hospitality community and what it means to host in this city. And I love it.
And this was one of those places that I went to, and I was very, boy, just disappointed. Again, you talk about blaming me jokingly, and I didn't, but that's a lot of money, you know, not $200, not a tremendous amount of money, but for an evening out and a meal when the fish is overcooked and the service is not great. And what recourse do you have? I guess sometimes that just happens to you, and I'm not trying to chew on this for a long time or anything, but I know people are texting in right now, and they say they've had similar experiences at different restaurants. What ideally should you do when something like that happens?
Well, that's called shopping around, you know? I mean, you know, if somebody comes along and says, hey, how was the meal? You can be honest. I mean, the impulse is, oh, yeah, it was fine. You know, I don't want to rock the boat here. And then you're stewing on it, as apparently perhaps you are, Tommy, now.
Well, nobody asked, for one thing. That. Nobody asked.
Sure. Oh, okay. There's that. Right. maybe they know. This is a city with many, many restaurants. And, you know, maybe that's one that falls off your list. Yep. I mean, I'm not the type to go on to consumer review sites. You know, I think those are...
Neither me. That's why I'm not mentioning the name of the place.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you really only have the people up there who either have a bone to pick or who are somehow in league with the restaurant or something like this. You know, it's very rare that people are going to invest the time to be like, yeah, it was pretty good. I might go back. I don't know. You know, like, there's not too many mehs on there. It's either this diametric one way or the other. But, you know, it's you are the customer, but when you're entering into a restaurant, it's you know, you're not holding the receipt and bringing it back afterwards because it didn't fit right, or you didn't quite like the color once you got it home. It's a different kind of transaction because it is an experience, and it's, you know, it is your time and it is your meal. And there's only so many meals that one probably should put into one's body in a day. And so, yeah, it can feel like a wasted opportunity, and I appreciate the frustration. But
I think it's more about the cost with me. I think that's what's sticking with me is that, yeah, it's $200. It's not cheap, and you think they'd have been more in their game. But anyway, let's talk about, while we're talking about City Park, you wrote about the Crescent City Farmers Market.
Yeah, that's right. That story is just up on NOLA.com this morning. And I got to admit, I used to go to the farmers market quite a bit. I fell out of the habit. It had been a few years since I made like a run at this market in particular. And recently I found myself, you know, up on a Sunday morning with a little extra time, and it was a nice day, and I remembered, oh, yeah, the farmer's market. I'm going to give that a spin. So I just went over there. And, Tommy, I was blown away. This is the Sunday market in particular. There are three versions of the Crescent City Farmer's Market. One is Tuesday morning uptown by the river. Another one is Thursday right on Bayou St. John, and possibly the greatest use ever of a former city break tag station that's been converted into a kind of an event venue where they have lots of public sculpture art and activities, and it's right next to the Lafitte Greenway. That's on Thursday afternoons there. But the one I'm talking about in particular is the Sunday market, because that's the largest one. And it was the one that really captivated me with, the quality of the farmer's harvest in the stand, the produce you can bring home. But, you know, given my pursuit of New Orleans restaurants, I suspect I shop for home groceries a tad differently than the average household, even the average New Orleans household. If you were to open my refrigerator right now, you would find let's take a look here. Well, quite a lot of wine, a little bit of salad dressing, a couple apples, some condiments, a lot of hot sauce. We get there. Not too many consumables. But to walk around this farmer's market and see all of these pop-ups, these places that you normally find outside of bars or at breweries or catering events, that they've made a home there at the farmer's market. And really, it made it this sort of morning festival of street food. And you just wander around and take in the sights and the smells. There was paella, some of the best paella I've had anywhere, frankly, not just in New Orleans, but even better than paella I've had in Spain, from a pop-up called Paella Nola. And these big pans, the diameter of cafe tables, set up on these stands, cooking right under your nose. Next to the guys from Casa Borrega, the Mexican restaurant in Central City. They were making breakfast tacos. There was another griddle with pupusas cooking up. Those are the Honduran, Salvadoran corn cakes, the cheese just oozing off of them. Papa's Donuts is another pop-up that was right along the line there, where they had custard-filled brioche donuts on the counter. And a griddle cooking up sliders, so, you know, the smell of burgers in the morning. Doesn't smell like victory, but it smells pretty good. And then, you keep going, and there's people with fresh seafood. There's people, multiple juice bars, multiple coffee bars. And all of this is new. Frankly, what I learned by talking with the market a little bit is it was a flex through the pandemic. Pre-pandemic, the farmers markets were quite strict on, you know, this must be grown locally, and even to the extent of the coffee. Like, okay, well, we have some coffee, but it's not from one of the vendors. It's just drip coffee that we're serving from the market's admin table. Well, during COVID, a lot of things had to change. One thing they realized was, hey, we can get people to come and engage with the market and also support these small, independent, new startup businesses that are frankly, popping up all over the city as people, you know, had to find some way to make things go with all the restaurants closed. And so, you know, they took a look at the landscape and thought, okay, well, let's fold some of these in. And so they changed the rules, and now the farmers are still bringing in stuff that's very particularly from their farms. But now the farmers market is open to these pop-ups that are cooking up a lot more prepared, ready-to-eat food, and it makes it the grab-and-go heaven. It was just wonderful to spin through there. And I did end up taking some things home through the freezer and the fridge, but I left with a full belly and the conviction that I was going to keep coming back to that Sunday market in particular in City Park.
And you can read more about that at NOLA.com, but it happens every Sunday, Ian?
Every Sunday, 8 to noon. So.
And that's where, by the entrance to the golf course or where?
It's right by Tad Gormley Stadium.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you're going by City Park Avenue. I believe that's Marconi on that side. Yes, it is.
City Park Golf Course. What am I talking about? I was talking about Audubon Park. I'm confusing my mind here for a second, but I get you now. Now I know where you are.
Yep, it's the park in the city.
Yeah, it is the city park, right.
Right. But anyway, what a gift City Park is, and lovely to see it come to life, especially this time of year when the weather is still holding out for us, still real nice. But that farmer's market, it really was a breath of fresh air. The social aspect of it, Tommy, not just going out and like, okay, I'm going to get my flat of strawberries or a dozen pasture eggs or something. I'm going to, you know, go here and just interact with New Orleans people. I saw people setting up picnics under the oak trees with their, you know, freshly grabbed food from the pop-ups. And, you know, I say farmer's market, and I know some people can roll their eyes a little bit. Maybe it's a little bougie, or just like the yuppie kind of thing, or the hippie kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, there were yuppies there, and there were hippies there, and there were oldsters, and there were down-home folks, and there were families, and there were young people, and it was a real mix of New Orleans. It was like a really swirling portrait of different types of New Orleans people who were all there for different reasons, whether it was to get really healthy farm fresh stuff, or whether to show their kids, hey, this is where your food comes from, or whether they were just chow hounds like me who wanted to eat all the banh mi, all the dumplings, all the burgers, all the sliders, all the tacos, all the paella, coffee from two different stands, a couple of juices to wash it down. We eat with our eyes. So you go through a market like that. It has the vibrancy of one of those markets you visit in a different city that's there every day. Picture an old marketplace, or maybe what the French market was back in the day before its current incarnation. But just for that one morning, that's what it feels down there.
All right, let's take a break. We come back. I got a question coming in about neighborhood places to get a glass of wine and maybe some food. Somebody else is wondering, to recap what we've talked about. We've talked about Cafe Dega. We've talked about Brightson's. We've talked about the farmer's market at City Park. And was there another one or not? I think that's what we've talked
about. Well, there's the mystery place in general that's gotten your goat.
Yeah. That too. Yeah, somebody wants to know about Crazy Johnny Pop-Up. Somebody else wants to know about a place where they can go to get great, authentic Mexican food. So we'll talk about that as well, other than the farmer's market, because it sounded like they had some of that there. Ian McNulty's our guest, talking, eating, and drinking. You got any questions, 504-260-1870. I'll pass them along when we come back on WWL.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
.9 32, talking to Ian McNulty as we do every Friday morning. He covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, talking about where to eat around the New Orleans area. Somebody's looking for neighborhood places. I guess they're talking about somewhere kind of casual, just to pop in, don't dress up or anything, get some food, just something, a nice meal and a nice cocktail, glass of wine, something like that.
Got a perfect one for you. Rosedale, in fact, was just there recently. This is in the neighbors will call it the Navarre neighborhood, but if you don't know where that is, it's between Mid-City and Lakeview proper, just past the Bud's Broiler and the Morning Call beignet shop.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a fabulous neighborhood restaurant run by Susan Spicer of Bayona fame. That's where she made her name, but you'll find her almost every night working at Rosedale. And it's the kind of restaurant, Tommy, if you didn't know where it was, if you didn't know about it, you would never find it. You would know. If you know, you don't know. But if you know, you know, if you know what I mean.
Right.
It's down this side street that, frankly, it looks forbiddingly rutted. You know, do I need a 4x4 to get through here? No, you can manage it in a normal SUV or a very brave smaller car. But it is this tucked away find. And when we ate there, the weather was perfect. We sat in the back in this nice patio surrounded by, you know, the twinkling fairy lights with a little path leading out the back to more space than you'd think would be available in this part of town because it abuts this railroad passage that's bound to become part of the Lafitte Greenway eventually. And it's actually an interesting place all around. It was once a police precinct house. And they've turned the restrooms. The restrooms are built in what were formerly jail cells. But they lock on the inside this time around. But the food is great. And it is New Orleans to the core, but it's not cliche. It's not for the tourists. It's for us. It's Susan Spicer. And the wine list is fabulous for a neighborhood place. It's just great. So that's top of mind, and I think you'd love that. And if you want to go just up the street, a couple places that I like a lot from the same vein are Junior's on Harrison, which is a very wide-ranging menu, you know, everything from a burger to shrimp toast to ice cream sundae at the end to a really judicious version of black and red fish, which is hard to find these days. Nice cocktails, good wine list. And right up the road from there is the Backyard, a place we've talked about before. A little more casual here. We're talking about burgers and sandwiches, but a fine old-fashioned.
Yes, sir. You know, they get my attention. Somebody wants to know about real Mexican food, and I don't know if I guess the distinction is between, you know, where you get sometimes you go to restaurants and you just get the same stuff on a plate, and it's hard to tell.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, you know, we can dissect it all day, whether it's Tex-Mex or American-Mex or Cali-Mex or real Mexican, but I think I'm reading in the lines of what the listener is looking for. And the ones that I would list, Tacarera Guerrero in Mid-City. It's on the same block as Andrew Brocato's. Fantastic. Good with the basics, tacos, burritos, quesadillas, that kind of thing. But really good for the specialties. The soups, these are like one-bowl meals. The pozole is especially good. It's a soup made with hominy, those big soft bulbs of corn. And it's one of those build-your-own soups, comes with all these other garnishes on the side that you can add to it. It's great. The enchiladas there are really good. If you're brave enough for the menudo, which is the intestines soup, right? Hangover special. Definitely a lusty dish for those with a taste for the innards and the offal. That's a place where you'll find it. But a couple more. I really like El Pavo Real, which is where Napoleon Avenue meets Broad Street in that part of town, kind of where a number of neighborhoods converge, kind of Mid-City, Fountain Blue, Central City, Hoffman Triangle area over there. And whenever I go there, I feel like I'm eating in somebody's home. It's the sauces are deep and rich. It's a great place for brunch if you want to go to a place and not necessarily have to stand in line with tourists, but just walk in and have like these good Mexican breakfast specialties. And then one that's always on my mind, Latia Cantina out in Metairie on West Esplanade near the hospital over there, is just fabulous. And again, deep running specialties next to the tacos and burritos and nachos and a fabulous bar. And I had a story this week actually on NOLA.com that they are fixing to expand with a second location soon on Oak Street, which will be a different restaurant. It won't be Latia part two or Latia Dos or Dos Tias or whatever, whatever they're not calling it. They're calling it Agua Santa, meaning holy water. And that's a reference to their cocktails are going to be in the forefront there. And it'll be a little more global, a little bit more of a fusion edge is the way they described it, but a lot of Latin American and Mexican flavors. And that's going to be on Oak Street where Chiba Sushi Bar had been a while back, and they're going to convert the sushi bar there to more of a seafood bar with ceviches and raw oysters and that sort of thing. So that's exciting.
I got to get to this article that you wrote about shrimp stew with plump shrimp, mixing it up with smoked sausage and potatoes and a curry sauce. That sounds delicious. Where is that at? Afrocentric?
That is aphrodisiac.
Aphrodisiac, okay.
Yeah, aphrodisiac. That's spelled Afro, like for Africa, like Aphrodisiac. Cute name from just a big-hearted couple, Kay and Shaka. And they started with a food truck. It actually made headlines in a dramatic way a couple years ago when Hurricane Zeta blew through, knocked a tree down in front of their house, crushed their food truck. Nobody was in it, but their food truck was out of business, like having their entire restaurant destroyed, basically. Community rallied in support. A lot of people offered their kitchens up to them. It actually raised their profile quite a bit. And lo and behold, about a year later, they opened this restaurant in Gentilly, which is the definition of a hidden gem because you could drive past this 100 times and not guess what's behind the door. It's on Franklin Avenue, just past that cluster of other businesses. It's over there, like the fabulous Fiorella's and Nola Koshan King Crawfish King over there. And this place, again, is aphrodisiac. And you push open the door, and it's a little tiny cottage of a restaurant. There's a barbershop next door, tiny, tiny. Order at the counter and then go to the back, and it opens into this verdant patio. Again, you would never guess this there, right on Franklin Avenue in Gentilly, and you're having dishes like you described. That shrimp stew is excellent, and nice cocktails there, too.
All right, you can go to NOLA.com, find out everything Ian McNulty's talking about, and you can go to WWL.com, click on my name. You can re-listen to this if you like to see some places that he's recommended. And he's got some great pictures up there as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Todd Graffanini, radio voice of the Pelicans. They got a big game tonight against the Kings. 939 traffic, WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.